I want to bring a word on freedom. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." Now, I want you to hold that thought, because when I get deeper into the sermon, we're going to come back to it, and you're going to see how important that statement is to validate the point it's trying to make. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So with that said, then I can say dichotomically, opposed to that, then I can make the same term and say, where there is not the Spirit of the Lord, there is no freedom. Amen. And so, true freedom, according to the word. What is it? When you look in freedom, what exactly is freedom? We throw this term around. If we look at it in the context of this verse, there's a Greek word. I won't even bore you with the pronunciation of it. But it literally means a state of freedom of slavery. Like being, you're a slave to something, and all of a sudden you're set free from it. From the root word, which even further points to its true meaning, and it says, meaning free, I love this one, or unrestrained. See, when you want to tame an animal, like a horse, you put a bit and a bridle on it. And then, or an ox, you put a yoke upon it. And that's how you can steer that animal, to make it do things it would not ordinarily do, whether it wanted to or not. Paul said the flesh is that animal. Man, it makes me do the things I don't want to do. The things I want to do, it won't do for me. Are you listening? So what happens is, when it says you're not restrained, when things yoke you up in your life, you get yoked up, they make you do things you normally wouldn't do. Steer you into things and places you normally wouldn't go, and people you wouldn't even have things to do with, let alone the activities that you're partaking of. And so when you are set free by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? That means that you're no longer held in bondage to the thing that is steering you to do that. Did everyone hear me? So I want you to think about the thing that irritates you about you. The thing you're praying about to God, saying, God, why do I keep doing this? I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. You're under a restraint. But when the Spirit of God comes in, that restraint is then destroyed. The yoke is destroyed. The thing that's steering you is gone, and you no longer have the restraint. You are unrestrained. What does that mean? It means you're free. That means you will no longer have that desire. You'll no longer have that temptation. You will no longer have the will to want to continue in the thing that you're doing. So just track me. We're going to keep going here. Now, when it's in the usage here, if you're looking into the concordance and if you're looking into word studies, which I do like to look at, it says it's particularly used in a spiritual or moral sense. A lot of times it's used to describe, it says here, that believers in Christ have, which liberates them from bondage of sin and constraints of Mosaic law. So even, we talked about it just a little bit earlier here, even in religiosity, people are using judgment and you're under the law and you can't do this and you can't do that. And don't get me wrong, the very next statement here says, now it is not a license from immorality. But it's a call to live righteously and serve one another in love. So basically, true freedom is no longer being tied to your past. Because your past has been forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. It reminds me of a story of, you know, one of my bishops, his wife. She had something going on in her life, and she was so aggravated someone had done her wrong. I mean, she just couldn't let it go. She is wearing everybody in the house about it. And this is coming from her mouth telling me the story, so I can say it this way. And she said, finally, I went to counsel to my pastor. So she went to the pastor, the people they used, who has been, you know, probably a 40-year ministry at that time. He's been in ministry about 40 years. And she's just going on, and she's just, you know, by court of law, she had him. And he did this, and he did that, and he said that, and he keeps this, and I've tried this, and I've done this 100 times, and he's still not going. And boy, she said, I knew I had one. He said, he looked up, pushed his glasses in, he said, Robin, when it's over with you, it's over. See, we're always so worried about who's right. Well, I'm going to show them. And I can't lose faith because I have to prove my point. Do you? How's it working out for you? So what Robin says, she's like, wow, when it's over with you. So she said it made her mad when he said it. But on the drive home, she started thinking about what he said. She says, you know, he's right. So she let it go. Guess what? She was no longer burdened by it. She was no longer constrained by it. It wasn't changing her emotions. It wasn't affecting her. She was unrestrained. She was free. Are you starting to see how it works? In Isaiah 46:10, it says, because I want you to see how God works. I declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand, and my good pleasure I will accomplish. Now, the one thing, just one of the things, but this one main thing, makes God different than everything else and everyone else in the universe. Because we declare everything at the beginning, and then we wait for the manifestation at the end. But the scripture says God stands at the end and declares it from the beginning. See, you can't understand what God does until you know who he is. See, God lives in eternity, so he's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning, he's end, he's author, he's finisher, all at the same time. He's not in the past and he's not in the future. Listen to me what I'm telling you. He's not in the past and the future. The Bible says he's a very present help in time of need. He's a right now God. And he's an all the time God. See, he is I am all the time. Okay, you don't get it. Let me put it to you this way. Okay. If I walk through time, God doesn't walk with me. Why? Because he's already is. Wherever I am is. He's not behind me and he's not in front. He is. So if I'm here, he is. I am. That's why he never leaves you, never forsakes you, because he's there in every present, in every time, at all the time. Can you see that? See, let me say it this way. I will change as I walk through time. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the way we look at life is, you know, we know where we've been, we know where we are, but we don't have a clue what, you know, what to expect for tomorrow. God, however, listen to me, he already knows your end. So he looks to what you've done. He compares it to what you're doing, and then he can help you make the adjustments you need to become the thing he's already declared you to be. If you could just get your head around that, that's quite a revelation. So in Ecclesiastes 3:15, it says, that which is has already been. That what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Are you listening to it? So what does that mean? So it means what you've already been through is in God's past. What you're about to go through is in God's past. So every day you are slow. Oh, this is good. Listen to me. You gotta write this down. Every day you are slowly becoming what you already are. Every day, every time, time is constantly revealing your true identity. So God takes all the events of your life, check this out, and he hides them. He hides them in your heart. Now, he doesn't hide them from you, he hides them for you. Okay, you don't believe me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Why is he talking about secrets? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you pray, pray in secret so you will be rewarded openly. Why is he talking about secret? He hides your entire life in eternity. He hides it in your heart. Why? So then as your life is revealed, at the appropriate times, he will reveal that to you. I know it seems a little deep, but I need you just to get a hold of it for me, because you need to understand how God's tracking your life all the time. That's why you never have to be worried about anything. God's already been in front of you. He's not moving there. He's already there. And when you get there, you'll catch up to him. And he said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. Well, remember, God already had it prepared. Jesus was going to where the Father was. He's with the Father, right? The right hand of the Father. That was already prepared. He goes to prepare. Well, when he went, God had already prepared. When you go, it's already prepared. Let's try it this way. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knows the things of God except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, listen, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Why? Because he hides it in you. Doesn't say he gives you the desires of your heart? Who gives you the desires? Do you know everything you do out of a desire? God gives you the desire of your heart. Not all desires. Some desires are given from the world. Some you're talked into. But good godly desires from the Word, he puts them in you. He hides them in you. Psalms 119:11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What's David doing? He's imitating God, because he knows that if he puts that word and he hides it in his heart, that at the time of temptation, that word will be in place to guard and protect him. That's how God does with the events in your life. He puts them in place so when you get to that place, you'll make that right decision. When you get to that place, you're already covered. You'll walk away from that thing that you don't need to be a part of. You'll be able to recover from the thing you just came out of. You'll be able to see it finally for what it is, because he's already put something in place for you to see eyes on it. He didn't want you to have to go through it, but there was no other way because you were too stubborn. I was too stubborn. I wouldn't quit. I just had to see for myself, so that he has to find a rescue plan. But he didn't have to find it. He already had it, because he already saw it before he predestined you to be on earth, before you ever showed up in the womb. Somebody get a hold of who God is. He is all things all the time. He's everywhere, omnipotent, every place all the time. I'm trying to take some pressure out of your life. Once you see how big God is, you'll never have a problem that's bigger than God. God's always bigger than any problem you will ever have. He already has a solution in place for everything you'll never need solved. Your steps are even ordered. All you have to do, though, is it has to be revealed. And that's the part where we get a little squirrely. See, let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians, you need to hear this. Because the only way it could be revealed to you is through the Holy Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, however, it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard. That means it won't come to you through information. You're not going to see it. You're not going to hear it. It's going to happen in here. And what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. He's prepared them. He's hid them in your life. These things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The only way it's revealed to you is through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts that God has but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. What we received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You can't even understand what's in you until the Spirit is in you. Why is he comforter and counselor? Because when he's counseling you, it brings you comfort. Because you see what God has already in place, and you stop worrying, and you get out of hope, and you get into faith. Hoping is wondering if God's going to show up. Faith is already knowing he's there. That he stood at the end and declared from the beginning, you're in, because he's already there. He's already seen it. He's already in the place you want to be. So I'm not hoping, I'm knowing. Now I have to stand in faith until I get to where I'm going. We have faith hoping. Do you understand? But we don't have to hope. Hope just is an emotion that's inside of us that's based on the confidence of what is. Faith is evidence. I mean, I already know it's coming to pass. Y'all are staring at me like I just stunned you by what I said. But see, the problem is most preachers are preaching a lot about God, as they should. Preaching a lot about Jesus, which they should. However, not a lot of people talking about the Holy Spirit. Yet he's the one who reveals these things to you. These things God has hidden in you to be revealed to you as you need them. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but if he's hidden things in my life for me, I want them to be revealed to me when I need them. The Holy Spirit, he's known as Comforter, he's Counselor, he's Spirit of Truth. In the Bible, he's referred to as the word is Paraclete. It means one who appears on another's behalf, a mediator, an intercessor, a helper. We're going to talk about freedom. This is how you get it. This is how you get unrestrained in your life. Let's look at the track here. Acts 10 and 38. Let's go to Jesus. You want to know how anointing happens? Let's study Jesus. How God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus. Jesus didn't have his own anointing. God anointed Jesus. How did he do it? He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit. He used the Holy Spirit to anoint Jesus. Jesus was not anointed until the Spirit came upon him, set on him like a dove. He had to have the anointing of God in his life. He didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit was in his life. And with that anointing comes power. It just, the two go in the same package. So when God anointed Jesus, he didn't just get anointing. He got a dose of the Spirit in him because Jesus was perfect. So everything in his life, see, truth and untruth cannot cohabitate. So Jesus was already perfected. So Spirit could come in him, a Spirit of absolute truth. The Spirit of truth could live in him. Now, see, here's the problem. Jesus, it's not a problem, I shouldn't say it that way, but it's something you need to understand. When Jesus was here, he had the Spirit of God in him. But to us, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He wasn't in us. Jesus had God in him. Are you with me? So when you look at Acts 1:8, now things change. He says, but you, talking, say you, point to your neighbor, say you, he's talking to you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus becomes a sacrificial lamb so he could place the blood on the mercy seat so you no longer had sin in your life, so now you are perfected. Now the Spirit of God can come and live in you. And now God's not just with you. God is in you. And when he's in you, his power is also in you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Same package. You get the same package deal that Jesus got. Spirit in you. It will come on you. Then you'll be witnesses, and then you can go to the ends of the earth. But from that point forward, it's no longer God with us. It became God in us. The reason why we can be set free is because, I told you before, the Holy Spirit cannot habitate when there is non-truth. You have to understand that when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. You know how I know he doesn't see you? Because you're dead. You died to him the minute you accepted Jesus. You're a new man in Christ. Where are you in? If you're in somebody, if something's in me, you can't see it. If I'm in Jesus, when he looks at me, all he sees is Jesus. All the blessings are in him, in Christ. When you're in him, God looks at you and sees Jesus. Holy Spirit then comes upon you with power. Do you see? Are you with me? That's where freedom comes from. That's where anointing comes from. So now the truth of who you really are can finally be revealed. So the Bible says old things, they passed away. All things have become new. And you are a new creation. The problem is we become something and we can't identify with it. You became an eagle and you're still acting like a chicken. Some of us, we're still acting like dodos. Dodos don't even know they can fly. But when you're an eagle, and you know you're an eagle, you don't stay down there with the problems. You soar high above the problems of life. And you have a different perspective than the chickens. You used to be a chicken. Now you're an eagle. You're not a chicken. You're not a chicken. Notice I didn't call you a dodo. I said we. Me, I was referring to myself. I've been a dodo plenty of times in my life. I don't know about you. I'll go ahead and say it. You ever have a dodo day? Yeah, some of y'all act like you're getting something out of your purse when I said that. Did he say something? Is he talking? So why do I say that? Why is it so important that you know who you are, that you're new, that you know who you are? Because I don't know what they called you in the past, but you no longer have to identify with those names. Why? Because you're free, and your past can no longer steal from your future. So if the Son sets you free, John 8:36 says you will be free indeed. You are no longer all of those bad things that people are trying to identify you were. You are free. Now I'm going to close with this because there's only one thing people can say about you now. You are blessed. And because you are blessed, you are free. I need 10 people to jump up right now to shout, I am free. Come on, say, I am free. Come on, say, I am free. And the Bible says, he who is free is free. If you're free, then why don't you give a free shout up to heaven right now? Come on, let God hear you right now. I'm talking about a free that I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say free. I'm talking about when you walk around and you could care less about what the world's thinking because you know what God is knowing. Oh, it's good to be free. Man, I'm telling you, we have had a day full of freedom. And I could sit there and go on for probably 2 hours, not even trying, when you start talking about freedom. But somewhere we got to bring this thing to a close. And I just think right now, that's enough for today. How many people, if I ask you today what freedom is, know what freedom is? How many here can honestly say, Doc, I've experienced freedom today? Experienced it. I've experienced it. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like it. And don't let anyone or anything get you yoked up again. you have nothing to worry about because God is already where you need him to be, doing what you already asked him to do. Isn't that reassuring? I hope that revelation will stick in your mind, that you'll never read that verse again, that you always see you in the verse. And I want to challenge you when you're reading your Bible. Now, don't read it like you're reading about somebody else. You grab this thing and say, let's see what God has to say to me today. And when you're reading through those stories, he's talking to you. And I want you to understand what's going on in the verse you're reading, because it's about to apply to your life if you can grab the revelation off the page. It's all about understanding. It's all like David, hiding God's word in your heart. Why do you put it in there? So when that time comes, it's already in there, just like God has ordered your life. That word's already in there. Enemy comes and he brings a word or something against you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises itself against me in judgment shall be condemned. Why? Because God says it is. Because I've got his word hidden in my heart. But more importantly, I have his spirit living inside of me. He's living inside of you. What more do you need? Now, I've already closed the sermon, but I got to just ask you a couple. I got to challenge you a bit. When you're praying, maybe you should do a lot less asking and step into a place of knowing. You're asking for something you already have. You're asking God to do something when he put his own spirit in you to do it. Speak it. Declare it. Find a word and put on it. The days of asking and begging God are over. It's time to start moving in faith now. Call those things that are not as though they are. Speak to the mountain and it will be cast and it will be removed. We've got to get back to faith, church. This way, listen, I can't wait for the beginning of the year because I'm going to teach the Basics of Life series. And I can't wait to even reveal it, because even though it's basic, it's still going to be intense. And it's probably going to be a lot of new revelation for a lot of you. And I'm going to try to preach it in a way you've never heard it. Because I think if you can hear it from multiple ways, it just digs a little deeper in the well. Do you understand? And I don't know about you, but this year I'm determined to dig until I hit some well springs. Amen? How many people will help me dig? Because see, if you're in your Bible and I start preaching up here, I'm going to ignite a fire in you. I could tell you right now, I've been there sitting there listening to sermons before, and he'll say something, and for a minute, I got to take a detour over here on something I was reading this morning. I got to go over here and shout and celebrate. Then I come back to the sermon on where he was. You follow me? I want that to start happening. I want Holy Ghost interruptions. I want him to take your mind and start blowing that word up inside of you where it's so big you can't get it off your mind. Oh, you have to hurry and get to your Bible. Right now, some people are using it as a sedative. They read it when they want to go to sleep. Man, you got to be drawn to that thing. But it's not going to draw to you until it starts working in your life. So it's like exercise. Nobody likes to go to the gym the first week. 6 months later, you can't get them home from the gym. Amen. We've got to be workmen. We have to be responsible. We have to study to show ourselves approved. So how many people say, Pastor, I'm going to really try to dig this year? Anybody make that commitment? Praise the Lord. And be here when we're teaching. Listen, Wednesday night, let me tell you something. That panel Wednesday night, they just knocked it out of the park. Phenomenal job, ministers. I was questioning the panel on topic, and man, I'm telling you, they just killed it. And if you're missing that, it's such a shame, because it was such rich information. So I'm going to ask you, please, how many people could commit it? Now, if you're working, you don't have to raise your hand and stuff, but how many people would just say, okay, I'll commit to coming on Wednesday nights. Let me just see your hands so I can see who you are. Because this place needs to be full, not just on Sundays, but on Wednesdays. Now, we had a good crowd, but man, we need to all be there if we can be there. And I understand if you can't, but if you can be there, we need to be there. So again, I'm going to try to keep my foot in your back, not because I want to see a bunch of bodies, because I want to see what God will do in your life. Amen. Everybody lift up your hands. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for every person that's in here. I pray that they understand what we talked today on freedom. That they can walk and live in that place in their life every day, unrestrained, not worrying about what people think, what people say, or even what they've done, because you are a God of forgiveness. How many times? 70 times 7. It's an infinite number. Lord, we live in your forgiveness because it's a word called grace that you provided for us so we could get our lives straightened out in those times of need. And it is not permission to sin. It's not a license to do things we shouldn't do. It's a way to be able to learn how to live holy, and we have to go through the process of learning. So I ask that you would touch each and every mind here today. Touch each and every soul. Fill each and every spirit with your Holy Spirit so they are overwhelmed by your presence. I'm praying for Holy Ghost overwhelming. I'm talking about when they're riding down the road, the Spirit of God comes in the car and overtakes them. I'm talking about when they're trying to say a good night prayer and your prayer comes on them with so strong with the Holy Spirit that they begin to shake under the power. God, I'm praying for a move of God in each and every home, not just here at church. And I thank you and I bless you in advance for all the good things that are going to happen in glory to him. Lord, I bless your holy name. And as the bishop of this house, I place the blessing of the house upon each and every family that's in here in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together right now. And let's thank God for what he's done. And right before we walk out the doors, you know that we don't get out of this church without giving everybody a chance to have the same opportunity that we have. I don't ever want to take for granted the great thing God has done in my life, do you? And that's simply he decided to find somebody like me and reach out to me with his spirit and invite me to allow him to live in my heart. What an amazing, who am I? Who am I that the Lord would come to me and want to be Lord of my life? But yet he offers each and every person here an opportunity to do it. I'm no one special, obviously. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. Romans 10:9 says to the fact that if you will just believe that he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does, that, listen, Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. I told you the story. And he died for your sins. He rose again, put the blood on the mercy seat, ascended into heaven, and he's waiting for us there. And if you'll invite him through the Holy Spirit to live in your life and guard your heart and guard your life, give you all the benefits you heard today, all you have to do is believe and then with your mouth confess it with a simple prayer. What an honor it would be today if I could just pray that simple prayer with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, if you're in here today, now listen, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public, so raising your hand, you shouldn't be afraid to acknowledge him in public. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point to you. I'm not going to ask your name. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I just want to know who you are, because in a minute, we're all going to say a prayer. When we say that prayer, I'd just like to know who I'm agreeing with in prayer. But if you're in here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my life to the Lord today. I haven't really done that. Would you just lift your hand real quick so I can see who you are? Don't be afraid. Just raise your hand. Let me just see who you are. Now, you see, right now, it would be real easy to say, oh, look, everybody's saved today. But I got that tugging. And if I didn't have the tugging, I would just keep moving. But there's somebody here that needs to raise their hand. And so I'm going to give you just a minute to think about what I said. There's no embarrassment. There's no shame. As a matter of fact, you'll find out people respect you a lot more because you're telling the truth finally. And so if that's you, and today, while we're praying, that you'll be one of those that we're agreeing with, I'm going to look across. I'm going to put my hand up so these lights, I can see your faces. But please be honest and put your hand up. Who am I praying for today? Just lift your hand. And thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? See, just lifting your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. See, people, it's about being honest, folks. Just nobody's judging you. Thank you for that hand, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you for that hand. Yeah. See, just anybody else? Thank you for the hand. It's just being honest and telling the truth. And God can work with that and will work with that. Thank you for those hands. The Lord always lets us know. Now, if you're here today and you've already prayed that prayer, but man, like so many of us, you just get a little, you get away from God. You don't even know how it happened, but you know where you should be, and you're not where you used to be. And you say, God, I'd like to get back to that place when we were like that. You can do that today before you leave, and you're right back. Just that quick. God's not going to hold anything against you. He just wants you to come back like the prodigal son. If that's you today, and you say, you know, some things I want to get right, and I just want to get this fixed today and during the prayer. Can I see those hands? Just lift those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you for hands. Hands across the building. Thank you. Now, I want to do exactly what I said I was going to do. I just want to pray. Now, when I pray, I'm going to ask everyone to pray. It's not important that you hear me pray. It's important that you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith. And the moment you say amen, it's done. It's finished. It's completed. And it settles in heaven. For all of you people who got saved, at that moment, Jesus just walks up and writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of heaven is in a celebration, it says. That's quite a major event in heaven. Well, if it's a major event in heaven, it ought to be a major event here. So once we say amen, I want heaven to hear us celebrate. And the only way we can do that is to celebrate louder than they are. So right now, everyone, bow your head. When we say amen, we're going to give a celebration praise. But Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you to come into my heart. Ask you to fill me, cleanse me, and make me every bit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new in my life. I am now a child of God. Heaven is my home, and you are my Lord. I believe it. Now I confess it, and that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give a Holy Ghost celebration for all of those names that are being written in that book of life. Come on, one more shout of praise for the free people in this house. God bless you, everyone.